You know, sometimes you come into a service and you think, well, I've been up there 100 times. But you know what? That last time could be the time that breaks you free. And I believe that's what happened today, that things were broke free in Jesus' name. Amen? Because when you're in his presence, you don't leave the same. You don't leave the same. When you've been in his presence, you don't leave the same. And that's what we're believing for today. And I remember when I first started worshiping and leading worship. I've told you before, I was terrible. It was not pretty. It didn't sound melodious. It was just terrible. And I remember I was in a worship service and I was praising the Lord because I could sing, but my piano skills were not the greatest at that point. And I remember afterwards my aunt coming up to me and she said, "You know what? I hurt my ankle, and during the worship, the Lord healed me." And I just thought, what? During the worship, the Lord healed you? Was he listening to the same worship service that I was listening to? You know, that's why we can't limit what God can do. And when you're in his presence with other people, he's with us in this place. And the Lord taught me something through that. We don't know what he's doing. We can't always see what he's doing. But I also remember a service where the Lord opened my eyes and I was watching Jesus walk up and down the aisles of the church, touching people, healing people right in the middle of worship. Worship is a powerful place. It's where we come into his presence. We leave our stuff behind and we come into his presence, and there is something powerful that happens at that point. Amen? So I believe that some of you that came up this morning, when you came up, your healing was here. You should go home expecting something different. See, that's what we leave and we don't expect anything different. We don't expect there to be a change. Can you imagine, girls, if you went to a hairdresser and you walked out the exact same way you walked in? Would you be pleased? No, because you're expecting something different, right? Guys, if you took your car to the mechanic with a problem and you left with the same problem, are you going to be happy about that? No, because you went expecting that problem to be fixed. We should have at least the same expectation as when we go to get our hair done and get our car fixed as when we come into the presence of the Lord, because he can do even greater things. Dad, it's gone. It's gone. It's not going to hang on you anymore. That thing that the enemy has tried to keep rising up over the past few years, the Lord said, it's done. Just let it go. It's done. Amen. We have to be coming in expectation. We have to be coming with hearts expecting to receive from the Lord. He's coming every week and wants to bless. But are we expecting what he has for us? It's like a kid at Christmas. They don't come to the Christmas tree going, "What? I wonder if there'll be anything." No, they come expecting, how many will there be, right? How many are under the tree and how many are for me? That's what we should come like every week into church. That expectancy. Ooh, Lord, what are you going to do today? If not for me, for someone else sitting next to me. Whose miracle are we going to see? Whose testimony are we going to hear? The expectation. We need to raise our expectations in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're continuing on with our tithes and offering today. We've been learning about the ABCs of, or knowing the ABCs of tithing. We started with acknowledge. When you give your tithes and offerings, you're acknowledging where your wealth comes from. B, bring your gift to the Lord first. It says bring all of our tithes and offerings into the house of the Lord. Amen? So bringing our gift is an action after we've acknowledged. The C is conscious. Ooh, I said it. Woohoo! I had a hard time with that word last time. Conscious of why you're bringing your gifts. You don't just bring your tithes and offerings flippantly. You bring them because you're aware of why you're bringing them. The Lord has blessed me with so much, I'm bringing my gift to him. I'm aware of what I'm doing. And then last week we talked about being diligent in giving. We talked about the little accountant that I could see when I thought of the word diligent, and how the Lord is raising us up to a place of being diligent accountants of our money for the Lord. Amen? And today we're on E, and that is, and it's an exercise of your faith. Now, I know about exercise. I know that you can buy the best treadmills, You can have the greatest workout machines. You can have those, like, what are those things, Lindsay? The bands. You can buy the bands that you put on your legs or your arms to work out. You can have barbells, right? You can have all the gym equipment in the world, but if you don't get on it, it doesn't do one thing for your body. Amen? Amen? So we have to exercise. What does that mean? That is you're doing something. And I can tell you from experience, if you only exercise once a week, it doesn't do a whole lot. I'm just being honest, right? Twice a week, it's probably good somewhere in there for your body. But if you really want to see results, it's got to be, they say, I think, 5 out of 7 days a week that you have to be doing some type of exercise to notice a difference. Amen? So when we bring our tithes and offerings, it's an exercise of our faith. Did you know your faith needs to work out? If you want your faith to grow, why would your spiritual man be any different than your physical body? You can't feed your spiritual man one meal a week and expect to come into church and be a powerhouse. It doesn't work like that. No, you've got to be exercising and feeding your faith all the time. How do I exercise my faith? Well, the very first way you can do that is by bringing your tithes and offerings. When you bring your tithes and offerings, you're exercising your faith muscles. Now, for some of us, I can remember the times when giving our tithes was truly an exercise of faith. It was like, okay, Lord, I'm expecting results. I'm expecting results, right? But then you get stronger and stronger in your faith to where you're like, woo, let's go. I mean, you actually crave exercise after a while. Your body wants more of it the more you do it because it feels good. You feel good, right? You notice the results. The same is true in our giving. When we exercise our faith, the stronger we get, the more excited we are going to get about giving. Why? Because you're going to notice a difference. When you give your tithes and offerings, there is a blessing. The Lord doesn't just say, give. He says, no, give so I can give back. He has so much in store for us. And in these last days, he is pouring out his finances on those who are good stewards. We learned last week, we got to be diligent. But then when he gives it to us, we have to exercise our faith and give. Now, sometimes we give our tithes and offerings and we're doing great. Just like me, I walk on the treadmill 5 times a week. I walk on the treadmill and not doing a whole lot of work. I got to do something different, right? Sometimes the Lord calls us to do something different, a new level in our exercise, and we start working with weights. I don't like weights. I'm just going to tell you. They hurt. My arms hurt afterwards, right? My legs hurt. But that's because muscles are being used. Sometimes when you give above your tithes, it feels like it hurts a little bit. That's okay. That muscle is just getting stronger. And what happens is you give and, oh, wow, where'd that blessing come from? What? We got a blessing in the mail this week. A package got delivered to our home with $100 for each of us. That was unexpected. But you know what I know? I know that we're all givers. And I know that we don't just give our tithes, we give offerings and missions. Not that we're better than anybody else. I'm just saying we're exercising. We're exercising, but we're also expecting. Amen. If you're just exercising and I don't care what it does anything, then you're not going to be looking. Excuse me. As a girl, man, you're looking. You're waiting to put those pants on that have been a little snug and then not be snug anymore, right? We should be in expectation that we are working out our faith muscles and we're going to see a difference. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because when we do that, we're going to take ourselves to the next level that God has for us. Because if he can trust you with the little, he can trust you with the much. And if you think it's difficult to tithe on $1,000, imagine how difficult it will be to tithe on $100,000. And you say, oh, that would be so simple. No, it's not. If you don't learn the lesson on $10 and giving your dollar, and if you don't learn your lesson on $100 to giving your $10, and you don't learn your lesson on your $1,000 and giving $100, do you see what I'm saying? Each level, you are exercising and using your muscles of faith, so when the $100,000 or the $1,000,000 come, or the $1,000,000,000 come, it's out there. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. I say, you know what? Redeemed Church, we could take some. We'll take it off their hands. Absolutely, right? But God is looking to see, are you exercising your faith? Now, Luke, he can lift a lot. But if I were to go and I were to use, what are they called again, Luke? What do you do those things that I tell you not to do all the time? Squats. Okay. So he does a lot. What is the amount right now? 300. He can do 300 on a squat, okay? What if I took that same amount and tried to do that? I would be, Ella's back there. Because I would be like this. I would go straight back unless it crushed me, right? It's funny to laugh about, but God doesn't want money to crush you. So if you aren't ready for $1,000,000, he's not going to bless you with $1,000,000 because he doesn't want those 300 pounds to crush you, because I haven't worked out to the point where I can handle that. Does that make sense? So if you are faithful with the little and exercising your faith, each time you'll get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And before you know it, those $1,000, those $100,000 checks will be coming in. Because why? You won't be crushed. You will have exercised your faith so much that when it gets here, you'll be like, woo, done. I can do that. Here you go, Lord. Here's your check. Do you see how important it is to exercise our faith? Amen? All right, grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you so much for this series, Lord. We praise you, Father, for the basic knowledge of tithing that we can learn. And I just pray, Father, that even this week, we would exercise at a new level in our faith in giving. I pray, Father, that you would challenge some of us, that you would stretch some of us, Lord. Do an exercise of our faith in giving that we've maybe never done before. And I just pray, Father, as we step out in faith, God, you are so faithful. You are filled with faith for us. And Father, I thank you that as we step out in obedience to do what you're calling us to do, that there would be such a blessing poured out on our lives that we'll be like, oh my goodness, look what God has done. That there will begin to be an excitement in giving like we've never known before, because we are going to start seeing results like we've never seen before. But Father, that means we have to do something. We have to exercise our faith. And I pray, Father, as we move forward in this exercise, I pray, God, you would lead us, direct us, guide us, that we would listen to your voice to do the right thing at the right time, that, Father, we wouldn't go ahead of you or go outside of your plan for us, but we would do exactly what you've called us to do. And we are going to see amazing results as our faith grows and strengthens. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I just realized I never even told you the verse. Verse is James 2:17. And it says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. So if you don't do something, then we're not going to see anything. Amen? There you go.
So Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today regarding this 20-day period, 21-day period of fasting and prayer. Somebody say fasting and prayer. We give you the praise for the victory in it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you want to open your Bible to a portion we're going to get to in a little while, it'll be probably Mark chapter 9. But I want to open with our foundation text. This is pretty much the same outline that we used last week and we'll probably use next week as well. You know, the Lord gave us a great ministry track for the year in terms of the Lord is my defense, and we've got things we're going to be getting into with that. But The Lord may step in and say, I want you to focus on this right now because it has everything to do with me being your defense. Amen. In Eagle Mountain International Church, Kenneth Cope Ministries, Pastor George and Terry Pearson's, and many other ministries, particularly the Pearson's, felt inspired by the Spirit of God to call the body of Christ, anyone who will, into a 21-day period, a Daniel fast. He was speaking, emphasizing recently, and you can go onto their website, emic.org, and just go through the past few messages. They're doing Wednesdays and Sundays right now, and get educated on these things, right? Reading the book of Daniel, he was emphasizing, is important in terms of letting fasting and prayer just become part of our spiritual DNA, if it hasn't been already, you know? And as the Spirit would lead, they emphasized this is a Spirit-led thing. So it won't be the same for everybody. A Daniel fast is not a complete cold turkey, I'm not eating anything, only drinking water for 3 weeks. That's not what this is about, right? A Daniel fast has to do with setting aside things that I crave. For me, you know, a few things that have been on, and I appreciate, I put a few of these in the back again, but this flyer is actually from Eagle Mountain International Church. Kind of goes over the scope. I love, Pastor George is very detailed. His wife more sees, she's more in the prophetic ministry, where Pastor George is a lot more into writing it down and being very detailed, and, you know, it's a powerful thing. But going over the vision of this, and then on the opposite side, it goes over some specifics about what it means to do what we're doing. And I really appreciate it that he said, even ask the Lord what you're supposed to, why you're fasting, and then what you're supposed to fast. You know, I don't like using the word supposed to. What are you choosing to? Don't ever do anything because a man tells you to do it. Is there a confirmation in your spirit to do this, right? But just in terms of, you know, the seven things that Pastor George is targeting and all of us are targeting are an awakening to God in the body of Christ, an awakening to God in Israel, an awakening to God in America and the nations of the world, the 2024 November elections, somebody say amen, breakthroughs, and they listed there for Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Eagle Mountain Church, Kenneth Copeland Bible College, Victory Channel, and I'm going to say Redeemed Church, ministry, somebody say ministry breakthroughs, and then personal breakthroughs, number six, answers, direction, and clarity for your life. And we need to be in touch with what it is we're believing for. Don't just go into a fast to fast. Have specifics. That's why they didn't just jump into it in January. He said, I want to teach on it for a while and give you time to meditate on these things and pray about it, and then we'll go into it for this season. It's been February 5th through next Sunday, the 25th. And then he said, number seven, a preparation for all that is coming. Amen. These are things that the Lord gave him to share with the body of Christ, to say, hey, this is a portal, this is an opportunity, this is an invitation. If you choose not to, you'll still go in the rapture. It's not like, amen, this is not salvation, you know, mean you're saved or you're not, you know. But it's of the direction of the Spirit of God to those who he would call to do it. And I'm one of those people, and I felt I wanted to share it with the church. Amen. And just kind of come alongside. This ministry is a ministry that I feel a very strong partnership with and a submission to the anointing that's on that ministry and others around the world, right? We're not in a Foursquare, Assemblies of God, Baptist, Presbyterian. We're not in a denomination. I love all of the body of Christ, but this particular ministry is one that I would say I submit myself to. I take very, very seriously when a word comes through these people. And I consider it heavily. I don't, you know, you don't always agree with everything that you hear from everybody, but sometimes the Holy Spirit says almost verbatim, I want you to say what they're saying right now. Because he's doing something on a bigger scale than just right here. Amen, right? So, and then he gave a fasting checklist. And I went over this a couple weeks ago. You can actually go online. I think it's two Sundays ago. We did an entire message on the fasting checklist. And I so appreciate this, right? Decide the purpose for your fast. Number one, we just addressed that. Those seven things. Number two, identify what you are going to fast. Hallelujah. Now, on a Daniel fast, again, we're not fasting all food. Amen? It's cravings. And the scripture foundation is from Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning three full weeks. I ate no pleasant food. Somebody say pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all three full weeks until three full weeks were fulfilled. So that's a Daniel fast. What are things that Steve craves? One of the things on my list is donuts. I've shared this before, and I think it was Friday night, I had a dream about a donut. It's funny, when you're fasting something, you may even have dreams about that thing. And this woman brought me a donut covered with little donut holes. Would you like a donut? And I said, no. And we were standing by like a rapid, and she threw them in the fine, and she threw it out in the water. And she said, why? And I said, because I'm fasting donuts. And she goes, oh, I thought that's why I was. It's amazing things that you may experience while you're fasting. Amen? So for me, so you make a specific list. You and the Lord talk. And you know, if you're just now hearing about this, it's not too late to jump in. We got another, 7 days or 8 days, whatever it is, to just pray about it, seek the Lord about it. Set some things aside. For me, it's things like chocolate, chocolate, right? Donuts, sugary cereals, soda. You know what I've realized in the past, we've been doing this for a couple weeks, I really haven't had any symptoms of headache. Try to come on. So there's health benefits sometimes. Sometimes the Lord gives you something to do for a period, and then you end up just not going back to it. It might just be something he's breaking off of our life, right? But you're sensitive to the Lord. You make your list between you and God, and then you don't let food condemn you. I so appreciate this, because there's times where I think, that sounds good, and I'll think back about, is that on my list? Nope. Okay, well, there you go. Amen. So it's nice to have some specifics there. And then everybody say, stick to it. Stick with it. And I think that's a good word for those of you who are doing this for the next 7 or 8 days to, through the 25th. Somebody say, through the 25th. Stick to it. Stick with it. Amen. Because things are happening in the spirit realm that we can't see. Not that we're earning anything from God, but fasting is a powerful tool, like communion, like prayer, like baptism, not to earn anything from the Lord or twist his arm into doing something, but something happens when we just put our flesh aside for a while. And we quiet ourselves down and we spend more time. It's not just about what I'm not doing. What am I doing? I'm spending more time with the Lord, listening to his word, studying his word. Amen. So identify what you're going to fast. Next, he says, proclaim the fast before the Lord. So we did that, man. We said, we are now in a season of prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. And I've been, personally, I used to, a number of years ago, I felt like September and January were good months to sort of set aside for some prayer and fasting. And I would fast a meal or whatever during the business week. But something different happened at the end of 2019. The Lord just really led me into, you're going to be fasting a lot more now. As we were coming into the shutdowns and all the crazy stuff, the election fraud and all these kind of things, I have not really spent a whole lot of weeks where I haven't fasted something for 4 years. right? Now, for this particular fast, I upped the intensity. But fasting and prayer ought to just be part of our lives as believers. And again, it doesn't mean fasting everything, but you seek the Lord about what that means to you. Is there something He wants you to lay aside? And I would come to Him even beyond this. I would just come to Him every week, every day. Lord, is there anything You want me to set aside today, this week? For me, for most of the weeks, I don't really eat breakfast. I'll have a cup of coffee with some coconut oil in it. Keto coffee, it's called. And I'll just be praying through the day. And then when it gets close to lunchtime, I'll break the fast, but I don't really have a meal. I'll have like raw oatmeal and almonds. And, you know, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying this is a journey that I've been on. And the reason for it is, yeah, Steve needs to be healthier. But also, we're staying in a mindset of intercession because there's a lot at stake in our nation right now. I mean, if the only reason we do this is for the children, man. Have you noticed the attack against children and youth? From the womb through college. Man, I mean, somebody say, find your motivation. Find the hot button. Because I'll tell you what, it's a hot button with the Lord. I can see Him just, enough. Right? And we're talking to the devil. So fasting is just another way to put our foot on the devil's neck and apply pressure. Number four, he says, believe that you receive your rewards by faith. And he put a little, and I have a bunch of these in the back. If you don't have one or if you lost yours, take one with you. Amen. Put it with your Bible study. But there's things in there for you to make a list of what you're fasting for and why you're fasting. What breakthroughs specifically are you believing for in your life? Is it a spiritual breakthrough? Is it a financial breakthrough? Is it a health breakthrough, a marriage breakthrough? Bad habit that needs to be broken off your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then it says, minister to the Lord during your fast. Number five, spend more time worshiping God. Spend time in His presence. Amen. One of the things that I put, I've got this really cool app on my phone that I don't normally play games on my phone. But I discovered this one called, what is it called? The football one? Huh? Retro Bowl, yes. It's a little football game, and it reminds me of Tecmo Bowl from the Nintendo days. And I really like playing games on that. Yes. Got like a college team, and you know. And I said, you know, I'm gonna put that aside for this period of time. So it doesn't have to just be food. It can be Instagram. Ooh, what? Sports radio. I don't listen to sports radio right now. I work during the week and driving around a lot, and I like to get little piece, not a lot, but little chunks of what's going on in the sports world. I just enjoy that. So I shut it off. The talk radio stuff, you know? A lot of that's just male gossip anyway. What's Travis Kelce doing today? We all need to know. It's important. Well, may he be saved, right? And all the others with him, right? Amen. So you're claiming, you're saying, I believe I receive these things done, and I'm ministering to the Lord during my fast. Minister to others, he says. Minister to others during and after the fast, as the Lord leads. Yesterday, Reed and I went for a drive. You know, we had something to do. I invited Reed to come along. And thank you, Reed, for joining me. And we hung out. We went and visited two men yesterday. And it was awesome to see you lay hands on and pray and exhort and encourage. And that was awesome. Ministering to others. Amen. And then we found a tool for the church that we've been needing. So people can hear in the back what Shelly's saying, right? It was an awesome thing. Ministering to other people. And then number 7, he says, expect assistance from angels. And the scripture, you know, there's scripture references that he uses. You can go back and listen to these messages in more detail. But let me tell you about an experience I had this week with that specific thing. I know. Has anybody ever seen an angel? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Sometimes they can come up, you know, look like a person. Well, here's something that I know is angelic in nature. I was thinking this past week, now remember, I listen to sports talk radio, but I'll listen to a game on the radio. That's not sports talk radio. And I know the week of Valentine's Day, college baseball, there's tournaments. The Ducks and the Beavers are playing in Arizona or you know, Hawaii. And it was like, I think it was Friday or Thursday. And I'm just thinking about that. I'm gonna check and see. And I don't want to say out of the blue, but I got a call from a brother that we ministered together at New Beginnings for a number of years in the children's ministry. And his name is Donnie. And I didn't know he had my number. I didn't recognize his number. I don't know if anybody else is getting a lot of junk calls lately, or just like another sales thing or whatever. But I answered. I was like, hello, and it's Donnie. I was like, Donnie, how you doing, man, brother, you know? And he loves the Lord with all his heart, businessman, and loves Jesus. And we start talking, and he's like, Steve, do you have a cousin who's a naturopathic doctor? Because I've been on Facebook. There's this guy named Livengood, and he's a naturopathic doctor, and I believe he's your cousin, and it just made me think of you, and I wanted to call you and ask you about that. And I was like, I don't think so, Don. I don't, probably no connection. Now, after we started talking about our families and praying together. And his son grew up and played baseball for Oregon. It was amazing, right? He played baseball for the Ducks. It was like, and so we're talking about all these things. And we began to, you know, share faith and encourage one another and pray together. But after we hung up, you know, probably 30 minutes later, I started realizing that was some kind of angelic activity right there that would have him happen to see this connection on Facebook. Who knows if there's not an angel out there saying their name is Livengood and they're a naturopathic doctor, and caused him to think of me because he needed to call me. Or if that's hard to believe, well then an angel made that connection happen during this fast. And there's been a number of things during this 3 weeks that have been, I mean, you just got to nod your head and say, wow, okay, God is ministering to people. Angels are involved. Stuff is happening. I've heard of 2 shootings this past week. One at Joel Osteen's church in Lakewood. One person was shot in the leg. There was this transgender confused woman with Palestine written on her gun, and she was holding a 5-year-old child close to her so no one would shoot back. With the child was hit, and he's in ICU. We're praying for that little kid. But amazingly, nobody else except her, there were 2 undercover police officers. How many know a bad idea to go into Houston, the Joel Osteen's church, shooting? Just in the natural, bad idea. But, because people pack over there, man. I mean, you know, ain't going to last long. So she's in eternity. But nobody died. One guy got hit in the leg. Amen. Another thing happened at the Chiefs parade. At the end of the parade, some 2 guys just started shooting. They're saying it was gang-related. Yeah, right. One person died. Now that's, I know it's sad, it's tragic, but it's also miraculous. Because people are praying and fasting and putting their foot down, and there's supernatural protection happening. Amen. Some of the things that are getting exposed in our government, some of the stuff that's coming to light, miraculous, justice, truth. There was one girl that they played on, I think it was Flashpoint or Victory News, those are great broadcasts to be checking out, right? But it, you could, I didn't see it. I was listening to it until it was a young lady, and she was very nonchalant and happy-go-lucky, talking about how much she hates Israel and she hates America, and they should both be wiped off the face of the earth. And guess what? Her pronouns are that she, you know, the whole pronoun thing. Her pronouns were they and them. That's straight up demonic influence. Can you think of any Bible references where there were multiple demons in one person? So you see what we're dealing with here, man. So it's easy for, not easy, but it's good that Steve would say no to a donut. Right? For a season, probably be best forever, but let's just talk about today. Let's leave forever out there in forever land. Amen, right? So these are awesome things, but the text here, Isaiah 58:6 says this: "Is this not the fast that I have chosen?" Now, yes, the Lord leads and directs and guides, but guess who else is involved? Somebody say, "I'm involved." The Lord isn't the one fasting this donut. Steve is. So I have chosen. I have chosen what I'm fasting. I've chosen the season I'm fasting. I've chosen the things I'm believing for. The Holy Ghost, yes, is in giving me input. But the more I go, the more I hear him saying, "Son, it's up to you what you want to fast. It's up to you what you want to believe me for." He'll show us things, but he's not going to come tell you what to do. Amen, right? "Is this not the fast that I've chosen to..." Now, here we go. See, it's more than about just not eating something I want or playing retro bowl. "To loose the bonds of wickedness." And let me tell you something. It's also the loose the bonds of wickedness over my own life. Because if we think any of us are walking on water and just living perfect before God, we got a thing coming, man. We're all in the process. We stopped, me and Reed stopped at Wendy's at the end of the day because we were hungry, man. We laid food aside till later in the day. And we said no to French fries and no to soda, but yes to a burger. Hallelujah. And Wendy's has this big screen, and it says, "In progress, Steve." And then down below it says, "Ready." And it was like, "Mary." Right? Because your order is in progress. Well, guess what, church? While we're on this planet, you and me and everybody in between us are in progress. Now we're saved, but the work ain't over. Amen. So to loose the bonds of wickedness over our own lives. That's why when God gives a word to Lindsay to come up and get hands laid on, we need to be in the practice of not being resistant to something God wants to do, but be receptive to something that God wants to do. There was a guy on the chat this morning at Eagle Mountain, because I watch their services and I'm on the chat telling, "Hey, how's it going?" There's people all over the country and the world that are on there. And sometimes these people slip through that are kind of wacky. And Pastor Terry got up there to speak, and he says, "Women should be silent in the church." And like within 10 seconds, that message disappeared. Angel activity. No, there's a... because there's a tech person watching for that garbage. So women of God, right? Lindsay, Shelley, Lacey, all you women, women of God, women of faith, qualified to help loose the bonds of wickedness. Don't limit how God can do it, who God can do it through, when he can do it. I think Pastor Huck calls it the fist of faith, to do some review on that. Right? to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free. And that you break every, somebody say every yoke. Hallelujah. And there's some definitions here. When he says, the fast I have chosen, that means join. EMIC and many others have invited us. Somebody say invite. It's an invitation to join. And it's easier to fast a donut too when I know somebody out here in Texas and somebody in Nebraska and somebody across the ocean and somebody in this room are also. Now again, it doesn't mean we're all fasting the same things, but we're all in a fast. Amen? We've joined. I like the word require. Certain things are simply required. If we want to see certain levels of breakthrough, certain actions will be required. Otherwise, we will not see any change. And it means appoint. We made an appointment. We appointed a time. We chose. It's a choice. And I like the way it says, be rather. So rather than chocolate, I'm going to set some time aside to pray. Rather than sugar cereal, I'll have some Cheerios. And I'll seek the Lord and be praying in the Spirit. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Because I don't know about you, but I would rather see breakthrough in this country than continued trash that the devil is trying to do. I'd rather see breakthrough in children's lives and freedom in children's lives than transgender and CRT and all this crazy stuff. The woke agenda. Amen. And to loose means to open wide, to begin, to plow, to carve, to appear, to break forth, to draw, to let go free, draw out, unstop. Amen? So these types of things help to bring a spiritual breakthrough that will bring a natural breakthrough. Bonds means the word pain, right? There's people that are just simply in pain. Emotional pain, physical pain, spiritual pain. And Jesus is not okay with that. So neither should I. Wickedness, wrong things, moral wrong things, iniquity. Hallelujah. We're breaking the power of these things. To undo means to jump. To jump from one place to another. Right? Be violently agitated. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God suffers violence, the word says, and the violent take it. Somebody say, take it. Take it by force. To terrify, to shake off, to untie, to drive asunder, to leap, let loose, move. Amen. I like the word burdens. It says, when it says, to undo the heavy burdens, meaning to bind, to knot, to bunch. When their life is just like in knots, there might be things in our own lives that we can't figure out. It's been a problem forever, and I just can't seem to get loose from this. That is a good reason to fast and pray. Amen. Or that your family is in knots somewhere, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Oppressed means to break. Means people that are broken, bruised, crushed, cracked in pieces, discouraged. Boy, has there been a spirit of discouragement on our country and on a lot of the nations of the world. Why? Because it's the last days. One of the greatest weapons of the devil is discouragement. Because discouragement takes all the energy out of you, all the fight out of you. And so fasting and praying is a way to turn discouragement into encouragement. Faith in God, right? To struggle together. Hallelujah. Because we're getting people, it says, let the oppressed go free. Let the oppressed be loosed to push away, reach forth, shoot forth, stretch out, Free means liberty, exempt from bondage. Somebody say, I'm exempt from bondage. One of the words Lindsay was giving there was the covenant that we have with the Lord. It's a covenant of freedom, a covenant of health. Amen? So when other things are pressing in on us, time to press into the Word of God. Hallelujah. To break means to burst, to lift up, to pull out, to root out, to tear out. Man, there's things that God is rooting out and tearing out of our lives and out of the church, out of the nation. Some of these wicked leaders in our nation doing such crazy, heinous things, they're going to have their careers ripped out of their hands, tore out of their hands. I mean, just here in the state of Washington, our governor, a lot of the people on the legislature and the attorney general, creating these bizarre things where if a parent wants to be involved in their child's life and say, honey, I don't want you messing with that transgender stuff. I can see you're struggling some with your identity, but the Word of God says this, we're going to get through this together. The state can come in and take that child out of the house and get them transgender care and take them out, literally take them from their house in Washington. This is evil stuff, man. And that's just one example. Recently, I heard of one in Montana, similar in Montana, where they took a young lady out of her house and sent her up into Canada with her biological mother, who is Looney Tunes. And the parents were told, if you come into Montana, you'll be arrested. This is straight up evil, man. Evil. Hallelujah. But in the name of Jesus, we're saying freedom to these children, right? Amen. And these people who continue to persist in their wickedness as leaders, they're going to have their careers rooted out and tore out and be replaced. That's why I love, let me just say it really clearly, I love Donald Trump. I will vote for Donald Trump. You vote for whoever you want to. But the man represents fight. Fight. They've come against him and others like him, Mike Lindell, business person, other people, that they just want to absolutely destroy them. Character assassination, you name it. But look at, you may not like the personality, but this is not school. This is not grade school. This is the United States of America. This is world security type level of stuff. So if someone says something that you don't particularly like, look at the fruit of what they're doing. I love the man. I believe God loves the man too. There was, I can't remember the name of the guy, but there was one of our most famous playwrights right now in all the country, all the world, came out and he said, Donald Trump is just as good a president as Abraham Lincoln was. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why we receive the offering sometimes before I speak. But you know what? I don't care. I got another job. God will take care of me for telling the truth. Hallelujah. And the word yoke means heavy, bands, staves, yokes. God is not in favor of anyone being chained up, enslaved. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let me close with this. Mark chapter 9. I know we got a closer up here today. Mark 9, verses 14 through 29. Andrew Womack said this the other day, and I wanted to share this with you, because he was talking about fasting and prayer as well. Another great ministry over there at Karis Bible College in Colorado. 9,000 feet above sea level. There was a, Lindsay's been watching a lot of their worship services and stuff. They got one of their worship leaders, a young woman, up in front with the microphone. Somebody say, look out, devil. Look out, devil. Baptized in the Holy Ghost, loves Jesus with all her heart. Purple hair and tattoos, man. This young lady, in love with Jesus with all of her heart. So we can't judge people by how they look, amen? Are you born again? Do you love the Lord? Has he got a call in your life? Somebody say, and Brother Womack said that the Lord told him that we are entering in, or actually have already begun, the third great awakening. So people that may not look exactly like you're comfortable with might just come charging in to get saved. Hallelujah. Amen. I love it, don't you? So here we go. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and the scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? One of the crowd answered and said, teacher. Notice he didn't say Lord. Somebody say, don't take Jesus down a notch. Right? Now he does teach, yeah. Teacher, I brought you, my son, who has a mute spirit. See, we're ministering to a kid here, right? And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And Jesus, how many know Jesus never breaks a sweat? Right? He answered and said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Somebody say, bring him to me. So you got a need, a request, an issue, bring it to Jesus. Don't bring it to the scribes. Don't bring it to religious people. Don't bring it to Dr. Phil, Oprah. Don't bring it to, you know, Washington. Bring it to Jesus. I mean, if you want results, if you want special favor, I mean, there's people in leadership that will give you money for your issues. I had somebody tell me that once. I don't want to get healed because I'll lose my government assistance. Now that is two kinds of silly, isn't it? When you think about that. Remember William Wallace? What would you give for your freedom? Never mind. That's another movie there. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, that's saying when the kid saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the Father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. This is not something that just started, right? And often, somebody say often, this thing's been trying to kill this kid. And they recognized it is a spirit. Somebody say it's a spirit. You can't medicate a spirit. That's why when people advertise these drugs, pharmakia or whatever, it opens. We have to really believe God to not live on pharmaceutical drugs. Just look at the side effects. Your arm will feel better, but you may want to commit suicide. I mean, there's some of the that are that crazy. Somebody say, bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Often he threw him down, both into the fire, into the water, to destroy him. But if you can, I'm going to say if you can, right? If you can, have compassion on us and help us. And then Jesus turned it around on him. He said, if you can, believe. Right? All things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And I'll tell you what, that's one thing that fasting and prayer does, is it helps us with our own unbelief. Because we've all got levels of unbelief. That faith line that, I don't know about that. Fast, that's what Brother Womack was saying. Let's continue here. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, notice he wasn't praying for the kid. Heavenly Father, if it be thy will, I don't know what's wrong with this kid. No, he spoke to the spirit, right? He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Somebody say, no more. That's what we're doing. We're saying, devil, get out of our kids and enter them no more. Hallelujah. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead. So many said, he's dead. He's not even doctors. He's dead. That's just people being people, right? And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Don't you know that's what Jesus wants to do for anybody on the planet? Take their hand and lift them up. Stop wallowing in the fear, wallowing in the sickness, wallowing in the self-pity. Take his hand. And then he'll use you to take someone else's hand and lift them up, right? And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately. That was all on their mind. They're thinking, you know, kind of like the dog that tucks his tail, you know. Kind of, whoa, why couldn't we do that, right? So they get into the house, and they're all sitting down together, and I don't know which one of them, but one of them, finally, they're maybe nudging each other, ask him. You ask him. No, you ask him, right? His disciples asked him privately, Lord, why? Why? Why won't this problem go away? Why? Somebody say, cut the why. Or ask him why. There is a reason, and he'll show us, right? Why could we not cast it out? They were trying, weren't they? Everything they knew to do, they were trying. They were trying, right? And he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but, somebody say, nothing but. Prayer and fasting. Now, Brother Womack said this, and I loved it. It didn't mean this kind of devil, this kind of demonic stronghold can only come out if you're not eating donuts. No. He meant this kind of unbelief. This kind of unbelief in your own heart can only be rooted out by prayer and fasting. Jesus, how many know Jesus had zero? Somebody say 0%. Zero tolerance for any unbelief. Amen. And somebody say, so can I. So can I. And during this time of prayer and fasting, be watching for that, for your faith to be growing stronger and stronger and stronger, and the cares and the fears and issues be getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And this will go far beyond the fast. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up on our feet. We'll continue this again next week. I'm going to close with this book that Sister Karen brought me called In God We Still Trust. It's a Billy Graham Library publication, Dr. Richard G. Lee. And this is also Black History Month. And this is about an African-American man, George Washington Carver. And the note here is Daniel 2:28. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. That's a great reason to fast and pray, because there's things that you don't know that will unlock that issue that he'll reveal to you. ways to pray, what to say, what to do, what not to do. There's a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And it says this, George Washington Carver lived from 1864 to 1943, was a fabulous chemist of international fame in the field of agriculture. Much of his fame was based on his research and promotion of alternative crops to soil-depleting cotton, such as the peanut, the soybean, the pecan, and sweet potato. He wanted poor farmers to grow alternative crops as both a source of their own food as well as a source of other products to improve their quality of life. In 1921, Carver spoke in favor of a peanut tariff before the Ways and Means Committee in the United States House of Representatives. And at that time, it was unusual for an African-American person to be called an expert. Can you imagine that? Praise God for where he's brought us from. Amen? What ignorance, right? He also detailed the potential uses of the peanut and other new crops to improve the economy of the South. Don't you know what God is doing in you is going to help everybody around you? That's why it doesn't matter if the entire church isn't doing this. You're doing it. It's going to lift everybody up. Glory to God, right? At the end of his address, the chairman of the committee asked, Dr. Carver, how did you learn of all these things? Carver answered, from an old book. What book? He was asked. Carver replied, the Bible. The senator inquired, does the Bible tell about peanuts? No, sir, Dr. Carver replied, but it tells about the God who made the peanut. And I asked him to show me. Somebody say, show me. This is a great time to be asking him to show you stuff. I asked him to show me what to do. Somebody say, Lord, show me what to do. I asked him to show me what to do with the peanut, and he did. Somebody say, glory to God. Glory to God. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for your goodness and faithfulness. We ask you, Lord, somebody say, Lord, show me what to do, and I'll do it. Show me what to do. Show me what to say. Add and subtract as you see fit from every area of my life. I submit myself to you, and I praise you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord, for pulling this nation back up to its feet. Just like you did for that little boy, you're doing that for nations. Hallelujah. For leaders. For children. For families. Hallelujah. Over all the mountains of societal influence. We praise you in advance, Father God, that these things are done. It is finished. Somebody say, it is finished in Jesus' name. And we'll give you the praise. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen.